Amen. Amen. If you'd like to take your seats. Just occurs to me, it's not the first time, but we use a lot of picture language as Christians, don't we? Which comes directly out of the biblical narrative and who Jesus was and what Jesus did. It's good language. It communicates what we can't fully know through logic and science. It just opens up an incredible world to us, the world of God. And Jesus himself, he used a lot of picture language, just getting hold of everyday items and situations. Luke 5. That's where I'm going. Luke 5, starting in verse 36. He told them this parable. This is Jesus. Jesus told them this parable. No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. It's a parable. A parable, that's what the Bible tells us. It's one that Jesus used, and it's an interesting parable with patches and wineskins, and I don't think it's a straightforward parable. But then again, that was Jesus, wasn't it? That was Jesus. Sometimes you knew exactly what he meant. Other times, I'm sure people had a confused look on their faces, and they went away trying to work out the meaning. And this talk is at the start of a new series, and the series itself is called New. It's called New. A couple of months back, when I was thinking ahead to September, I had a strong sense that would be what the Spirit is doing through September and on into October and November, that God would be doing new. God would be doing new, and we'd need to teach into it, because new isn't always straightforward. New isn't always easy. New isn't always what we want or what we're comfortable with. New presents challenges. New creates confusion, and which is what we're going to be doing in this series. We can peer through the biblical narrative, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that word new just keeps happening. We can't dispute it. It's there, and it's there often. God is into new. The verses that I've used as a point of connection with the Bible in promoting this series, that they come out of Isaiah 43. Isaiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah 43, verses 18 to 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. My intent in this series is for us personally, for us as Beacon Elim, for us as we're thinking, as we're praying, for ourselves, when it comes to the mission, fulfilling the mission of God here on earth, whether that's on our doorstep or whether it's overseas, for us to perceive the new thing, if it's just one, but I doubt that it'll be just one, it'll be lots of things that God is doing that are new. And I want us to start with us. So I want us to start with us individually, personally. Because that's the easiest, it seems. It seems to me in my world, in my immediate surroundings, with my responsibilities, with my hopes and my encouragements, and some frustrations and some worries. And you in your world with the same. What's the new thing? The new thing that God is doing. And I want to suggest at the outset of this series that each of us, so for all of us, God is doing something new in our lives. Now, that may not be big. Not right now. It could be really small. It could be hardly anything at all. But there's that early glimmer of the bright insights of the Holy Spirit, something he's nudging you with, something he's stirring within you, something that's causing you to lean in and to listen closely to what he, that the Holy Spirit is whispering. And it will be something that's transformative, because that's God's desire. That's always his deeper work in you, his constant work of forming Christ and causing you to become the most Jesus-like version of yourself possible. And God will use whatever means are available to him to do that. Bring that transformation if we're obedient to it. And one of the most powerful of those is doing something new. A new word, a new conversation, a new opportunity, a new trial even. For others of you, what God's doing that's new could be big. Could be big, really big, life-changing, and you feel overwhelmed by it. Or if you fully open yourself to what God is doing, then you would feel overwhelmed by it. Is this connecting with you, anyone? I hope so. I hope so, because this new thing could be really small or it could be really big. It could be somewhere in between, because we don't know what it is yet. Not fully. But see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Not yet. And that's why we're opening this up in a series, so that we can give it lots of time. We can give it lots of good teaching. There are several of us who are going to be speaking in this series, which means that we can hit it from different angles and use different scriptures and different narratives out of the Bible as we speak into it. And where I'm going to go next in this talk, it isn't so much about new as it is about old. Because if you know your Bible, which I know that many of you do not know your Bible, you may be asking yourself, is Dan going to read what Jesus says next? What he says to finish his parable off? Because in the gospel, in the book of Luke, Jesus doesn't stop there like he does in the gospel of Matthew and Mark. He doesn't stop with new in new and old in old. He goes further. So let me read it again from the start. Luke 5, verses 36 to 39. Jesus told them this parable. No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, this is where he finishes, and no one after drinking the old wine wants the new, for he says the old is better. Wine needs to be aged, The old is better than the new. Does that now render this series pointless? Does it? Seeing as I've called it new. No, not in my opinion. Actually, what it does is to bring some sober reflection. Because new isn't always better than old. In fact, a lot of the old ways, they have merit. In the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah, it says this, Jeremiah 6, verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. This uplifting of the old and the ancient past comes as a relief to someone who still owns and uses a Filofax. That's my diary. My appointments are on my phone, they are online, they are in Teams, they aren't in a cloud somewhere, they are written down a page at a time. That comes as a relief to someone who arrived at a training day only a couple of weeks ago, and everyone else, I mean everyone, got their laptops out ready to check out and create documents online. And I had no laptop to get out. I had a notepad and a pen, along with my Filofax that I placed with confidence on the table in front of me. To be fair, I'm going to remedy that situation. I'm going to get a new laptop, because anything less than that would be short-sighted of me. It would be stubborn of me, because I need one to fulfill the new role. It's a necessity with new tools, new learning, new connections, new rhythms to learn. But reflecting back on what Jesus said, for him to say the old is better than new isn't heard as a threat to the series. It gives us a voice. It gives us a voice when we're in our 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s. It gives us a voice to speak from experience, to speak from wisdom, to remind everyone of the ancient past and to show us how to find them and how to walk in them. But to also know that as you can look back, on the new thing that God did in your earlier days, God's just as much into doing a new thing now. Now. And we need to be releasing of it. We need to be encouraging of it. We need to be covering it in prayer, this new thing. Because there's scripture after scripture. There's story after story when God does something new in the Bible. It begins in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, the first book in the Old Testament. Genesis and the whole act of creation. I mean, God didn't have to, did he? He didn't have to. God wasn't created himself. God is the uncreated one. He has always been the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. God is eternal. But all of a sudden, God did something new. He separated light from dark. He separated the waters above from the waters below. There was sky, there was sea. He separated the land from the oceans. He flung the stars and the planets into space. God did something new. And sure enough, at the end of this created order, that we're living in now, God will do something new again, cosmically speaking. Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully prepared as a bride for her husband. Caleb, how did I get there. I got there because he's another example plucked out of the Bible. How old was Caleb when he asked for something new? Another hill to climb, some new territory to take hold of. We can read it. How old? Joshua 14, verse 10. Starting there, going through to verse 12. See, here I am today, 85. 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. New always points us to the future. New always puts us into unknown territory. New always causes us to have to become dependent on God. And often means that we need to relearn how to do what God intends us to do. And sometimes we like the idea of new. We see something new, we buy something new, but sometimes living in the reality of new upsets us because it always involves change. And sometimes we struggle to know when new has become old and old needs to go. And we need to forget the former things because they aren't helpful anymore. So, how do I understand and apply the parable of Jesus in our context? For me, it's about tension. It's about holding both old and new together. But given that this series is about new, that's what we're going to be pressing it into. And then this parable becomes about discernment. Knowing that we put new wine into new wineskins and old wine into old wineskins. And when it comes to discernment, I've got some headlines. Some headlines for you, which will become foundations for what follows in this series. And how we're going to be discerning. How we're going to be discerning about the new thing that God's doing. Firstly then, with the headlines, there's the Bible. When it comes to discernment, there's the Bible. Does the new thing that we think God is doing, does it line up with Scripture? That's the essential question to ask. And that relies on a good understanding of the Bible as a whole. I do need to point out, although it sounds extreme, it is true that there have been abuses throughout the history of Christianity where actions and even atrocities have been committed and argued for based on a misreading, a misinterpreting of Scripture. And some Christians have gone along with it. I'm not suggesting that that's us, not at all, but having a well-developed understanding of Scripture is what each of us need to gain in our reading of the Bible and in our discussions with others who share our love of the Word of God. Secondly, there's the historic witness. The historic witness. I don't remember everything from my church history studies. That said, I know where to go to remind myself of it. And I also know, because it was there time and time again, most, if not all, of the misunderstandings, the heresies, the false teaching of the message of Jesus, the doctrines that are within the Bible, most were argued over and fought over during the first 500 years of church history, as in the 500 years after Jesus had lived and died and rose again. And what that means is that mostly, excusing modern science and tech and medicine, where there are new ethical issues that we've never faced before, what that means is we can seek answers by looking back, drawing on those confessions of faith that have served us and given us guidance for the last 1500 years or more. Thirdly, there are those trusted and wise Christians who we have around us. For example, I can and I always do. I always have vision and a strategy and ideas in my head for Beacon Elim. I am paid as a pastor to give the best hours of my day, of my week to leading and pastoring. And I bring all of that. I bring all of that to our eldership. At the moment, that's Ian and Adam. And they listen to me. No. No, they don't. Not at the outset. Because at the start of every elders' meeting, we pray. We give it all over to God. We have the agenda in front of us on the table. And we ask. We ask, Holy Spirit, that whatever decisions are made, whatever actions come as a result of the discussion, whether there's agreement or disagreement, they would be good. They would be good decisions. Good in the sight of God, good in the sight of us. And once we've done that, then we can talk. And they, Adam and Ian, they bring their discernment to the conversation. As we work to release the new thing that God is doing. Fourthly, and with this one, we've got to be more careful. Fourthly, there's that unction. That's the word. And in our Christian vocabulary, that's an older word, unction. Unction is the action of anointing someone with oil. It's also the compulsion. It's the sensitivity to the Spirit where you just know there's a fervor inside of you, a desire. You just know that you've got to do what you've got to do. You've got to do what God's asking of you. It lines up with the Bible, yes. It lines up with the historic witness, yes. But others aren't too sure. They're not too sure. They could be concerned for you. It's too soon for you because you're too young, or it's too late because you're too old, or it's too ambitious, or it's too risky, whatever it is. But you're prepared to shoulder all of that responsibility because you're convinced it's of the Holy Spirit. Would Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Would Bonhoeffer have faced the deadly realities of Nazi Germany and become involved in an assassination attempt on Adolf Hitler without unction? Would Jackie Pullinger have traveled alone to Hong Kong to work as a music teacher in the notorious and dangerous walled city of Kowloon and there begin a healing ministry? Would David Wilkinson have left the safety of a small pastorate in Pennsylvania for the streets of New York City, where he ministered to gang members and drug addicts? Those classic Christian testimonies, those stories, would those many unsung heroes of faith whose stories have never been told, whose witness was mostly unknown and unseen, and yet made brave and courageous decisions to follow Christ at cost to themselves, would they have done what they did without that unction, without that call and response to the Holy Spirit, that anointing? And when it comes to new, when it comes to the scriptures, the biblical narratives that we're going to be covering through this series, we're going to need discernment. And we need discernment to know what God is saying to us and to perceive the new things that he will be doing in us. And one final question for us to reflect on. What's the new thing? What's the new thing that God's doing in your life? What's the new thing that God's doing in your life? It's there. It's there. I don't doubt it. Even if it's small. Even if it's only that early glimmer of the bright insight of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray now as I finish and bring in one final verse out of the Old Testament as I do that. That early glimmer. I think it could be a prophetic phrase that I use again. That early glimmer of the bright insight of the Holy Spirit. That new thing that God is doing. In the Old Testament. When thinking about God and the new thing that he could be doing in the Old Testament, in Zechariah 4, verse 10, it says about, and it comes as a question, who despises the day of small things? Who despises that early glimmer of the bright insight of the Holy Spirit? We don't. We don't, as followers of Jesus. We never do. Because personally speaking, I've never known God do a new thing any other way. It's the early glimmer. It's the small thing. It's the seeming insignificant that has massive significance in our lives when we lean into what the Spirit is doing. And I pray for each of us. In fact, give us a moment. Holy Spirit, where we can hit upon that new thing. You would cause us to see it now, cause us to know it. We've known it for a while. Maybe we haven't admitted it to ourselves, but it's a new thing that you are doing, God. And I pray, Holy Spirit, as we move through this series, as we move through the biblical narrative, as we use scriptures, you'd give your life to that new thing that's going on in our lives. We'd bring discernment to it so we can hold it and move into it rightly. Whether that's for us personally, whether that's for us as Beacon Elim. Lead us, I pray, Holy Spirit. Amen.